Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Hey, oh, sorry. I need one of you to just come back for a second. I forgot. I was actually withholding this, so. You know, it might seem strange to see somebody digging in and taking, it'd be an awful thing, somebody stealing from the offering bucket. That'd be pretty gross, eh? I have seen people make change. I might say, you know. But you know, I kept my tithe and my offering in my pocket. And what if I let the buckets go and I just kept it? Is that not exactly the same thing? Didn't you withhold something from the bucket anyways? It may look really disgusting to be reaching in and taking something out. But isn't it the same thing when you never put it in? Isn't it the same thing when you're constantly reluctant to honor God as he asks us? See, you might think me stealing some money for pizza out of there, pretty rough. But you know, withholding spirits, a terrible thing. Say, praise the Lord, thank you for the anointing in the house today. You know, we're going to talk about what is Jesus doing. How many have been enjoying the what is Jesus doing so far? I had several people this week, had some of our podcasters who watch online, you know, sent emails about being totally set free and really delivered through that service last week and really touched and really experienced the freedom of God. So it's really good. I got a couple of those people. I'm asking them to send that testimony in so I can share it with you. But just the freedom of the Lord. But just like I said, you can't talk about what is Jesus doing without talking about casting out devils. You can't talk about what Jesus is doing and not talk about giving. So we got to talk about giving because Jesus was a big time giver. So we're going to talk about giving. The Bible mentions believe 272 times, depending on the translation you have, might be two or three here or there. It talks about pray 371 times. It talks about love, come on, love, 714 times. When it comes to giving, it talks about giving 2,162 times. That's a big difference, eh? God's a massive giver. I mean, he gives the biggest gift ever, the beautiful, wonderful gift of his own son. For God so loved the world that he gave that massive gift of his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Woo! I'm feeling God in the place today. Are you? Just soak in that. It's good, good. God is a massive giver. Acts 10:38, this was Peter preaching, and Peter was summarizing Jesus of Nazareth. See, it doesn't say Jesus Christ or the Son of God, it just says Jesus. There was a man, Jesus of Nazareth. He had the Holy Ghost on him in power, and he's telling him this Jesus, this guy, this man was really born to be the Messiah. He was the Son of God, but he defined what his ministry was. He said he was filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed the devil. We shared that last week too, because he dealt with demonic stuff. He kicked out the kingdom of darkness. But that whole thing, doing good, it's that word irogeteo, and it means to bestow benefits, and it's from the root word benefactor. So you could read this by saying Jesus of Nazareth was full of the Holy Ghost and power. He went around giving people money and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What did he do? He went around giving people money to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask. If you really, a lot of people, I want to cast out devils, I want to heal. But you know, one of the big ministries of Jesus was giving people money. A benefactor is a person who supports or helps a person or an institution by giving them money. So Jesus went around giving people money. Acts 20:35, remember the words of our Lord Jesus. And this is what he said. It is more blessed. Who wants to be more blessed? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know what? If you get into the giving cycle, you'll step into a more blessed cycle, and you end up receiving and blessing and receiving and blessing. You enter into a supernatural cycle where you loosen the goodness of God everywhere you go. Remember what he said. Remember this. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can I get an amen? John chapter 12, this was Mary, this was her sister Martha, and this was after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, if you really loved your brother, and Jesus came to town, and he was dead for 4 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead, would you not be happy? You were in palliative care for weeks and months. You were there, and at that point, you didn't give a rip about your RSPs or how much you had in the bank. And they'd suffered there with Lazarus. They sent him a message. Jesus, the one you love is sick. I mean, come and do something. And Jesus waited a little longer. He didn't just wait until he died. He waited until he was dead for 4 days. So 3 days might still be hope, but in their minds, 4 days, you are done. So Jesus did that on purpose, says he did it to reveal the glory of God. To reveal the glory of God. But this woman was so overtaken with that, she decided to take this fragrant oil and she broke it on Jesus' feet. She took it, and people, when they've excavated those areas in Palestine and in Israel and those areas, they found homes, that they found these little areas under the home where a hole was dug out, and they'd find sometimes 5 or 6 or 7 jars of this beautiful smelling spices and fragrances. And what they've come to as a conclusion is that people would take these things and they would find very rich and amazing ointments that were valuable, like gold or like silver, but they would take these things and they would put them and they would hide them in their houses, like putting them in a vault, like putting them in their safe, and they'd put it away for their retirement savings. So literally this woman took her RSPs and didn't just sew them into the ministry, she busted them over Jesus' feet. I mean, just, you know what? He gave my brother back to us. I mean, this, you've loved us so much. I'm so incredibly nuts about you. She just came and she broke it over his feet. And Jesus said, well, that was a silly thing to do. No, he didn't. He welcomed it. He didn't rebuke her, didn't do that. But Judas Iscariot, he said, why was not this fragrant oil sold? We could have got 300 days wages for that. 300 days wages. What is that? That was like a whole year's income. I don't know what you make in a year, but it's a bit of money, right? She took a whole year's wages and busted them over Jesus' feet. And Judas is saying, we could have filled up our money chest. We could have got a lot of money right there and filled up the chest. And we could have given more money to the poor if you didn't do that. Then he said, not that he cared. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Now here's how amazing Jesus is. His accountant was a thief. And he knew it. I mean, the one guy he puts in charge of the money box is the thief. He had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it like I was just trying to steal out of the offering. Judas did that all the time. He had mad skills, but he was corrupt. Let me give you another passage here. John 13, 29. Here's the Last Supper. Jesus is getting ready, and then Jesus tells Judas, what you're about to do, go do it quickly. What did the rest of the guys think? When Judas went off to betray Jesus, the rest of them, what did they thought? Some of them thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus told him, go buy things for the feast, or that you should go give something to the poor. Why do you think they thought that? Why would they think that? Because that's what Jesus did. So they thought, oh, Judas is going to do something. What does Judas usually do when Jesus sends him away like that? Either to get us stuff to enjoy, like some new olives or some new pimento peppers. I don't know what they like. But he's either going to get stuff for us to chew on, or he's sent him out to do one of those missions to take care of a poor person. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil, because God was with them. So big part of Jesus' ministry, Jesus was a giver. Can I get an amen? Amen. Believe it or not, he didn't live and sleep on a rock out in the middle of the desert and shiver all night going, I'm serving Jesus, I'm serving Jesus. He wouldn't shiver saying, I'm serving Jesus. Thank you, Kevin. He is Jesus. Why would he say, I'm serving Jesus? Amen. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Run the tape back. All right. Good, good. Makes sense now. All right. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 25. This is from the Message. The Message, it says, generosity begets generosity, but stinginess leads to impoverished Yes. Generosity begets generosity. Mark 12:17, and Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God what is God's. The people came, the leaders, the rulers, they wanted to kind of trip up Jesus, and, you know, they wanted to see if he would, you know, they said, everything you say is true, you tell the truth, so that's all good. So we wanted to either get him to tick off the Romans or tick off the people, and so they brought, you know, and said, hey, should we pay our taxes? We got him now. If he says pay our taxes, the people will be crazy. If he says don't pay your taxes, the Romans will be mad at him. So we got him on this question. So Jesus said, well, bring me some coins. They brought him some coins. He said, whose image is on this? They said, well, Caesar's image is on that. So he said, well, render to Caesar what's Caesar's and render to God what's God's. Meaning, this has Caesar's image on it, but you have God's image on you. So render to Caesar what's Caesar's, but you yourself, you, everything you have, it should be completely devoted to God. Say amen. Thank you. All right. Generosity, look at this now. Generosity is not just an attempt to add a little kindness to the world. Generosity is not just an attempt to add a little kindness to the world. It's an action that will transform the world, bringing his kingdom. We want your kingdom. We want your glory. One of the greatest keys to that is generosity. Every single revival, if you study revival and study a move of God, every single one of them, a spirit of generosity exploded in the people. People started to give recklessly and abundantly because generosity is how you transform the world. How many still feeling the glory? Just kind of soaking. Let me give you one more, generosity. Generosity is not just Christians being nice to people. It's God through us expressing his goodness, compassion, and attention to the needs of his people. When we're being kind, it's a demonstration of the goodness of God. Now, if you got a Bible, I want you to turn there, a phone or whatever it is you use to read the scripture, because I want you to read this parable with me, all right? Because it seems a bit odd. It seems a bit tricky. But I want you to see what God is doing in this parable. Luke 16, because the whole thing's not on the screen for you. So I want you to follow along. Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 1. And I'm going to use the New Living Translation just so it's got a little easier flow for us. All right? Are you ready? Who's ready? Who's ready to go? All right. Jesus told this story to his disciples. He said, there was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. So there's a rich man, there's a man who's got all of these resources, and he's got all of these things, but he's allowing someone else to manage it, and he's giving someone else stewardship over what he possesses. So the manager is not managing his stuff, he's managing somebody else's stuff, all right? We're good? All right, so we got a manager who's managing the affairs, and one day a report came to the manager that to the ruler that the manager was wasting his employer's money. He was a steward of other people's money, and he's not doing right. He's corrupt, or he's stealing. So the employer called him, and he said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order. Get the books all caught up, because you are going to be fired. I'm firing you. I'm losing you. You haven't been doing what you said. You've had all of my resources. You've been investing in them, using them unwisely. You've been corrupt with what you're doing. So get things in order, because I am taking you out. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I'm not going to go work at McDonald's. I'm not going back to dig ditches or something crazy. I got to figure out, what am I going to do? I've got to somehow find a way that I can see myself still in this place in life and gainfully employed and in a good spot. So what am I going to do? Because I don't want to go back and be digging these ditches. My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. This is a story that Jesus told to teach something incredible. So we're like, wow, what's he talking about here? So here's a guy who has not been faithful with the resources that God had given him, but he decides, wow, You know, I got to find a way to make sure that I'm still gainfully employed or taken care of. So he said, ah, I know what I'll do. Verse 5. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer. He invited each of the people where he invested money and expected a return. He invited these people all to come to his employer to come and discuss the situation. And he asked the first one, how much do you owe? And he replied, I owe 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager took the bill and he quickly changed it to 400 gallons. Woohoo! That's a pretty good deal. I mean, I used to owe you for 800, and now I only owe 400. This is a story that Jesus told. He gave him a massive discount. Now, it could be that he had a huge commission over top. It could be that, you know, that's the corruption he was operating in. He was skimming off the top. But, you know, he gave this guy a massive discount. This guy, why? I mean, if you got a massive discount, if you got like half your mortgage canceled by a phone call tomorrow, anybody be a little bit happy? You know what? Don't make your car payments anymore. We're going to just give you the car. Whoa! Now, so something happened here. So then he says, how much do you owe the next man? He said, 100 bushels of wheat. And he replied and he said, you know, I'm going to change that to 800 bushels. And then listen to verse 8. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal. He had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of light. It's interesting that the children of this world are better at dealing with things in this world than the children of light. This is Jesus telling a story, and this is Jesus making some conclusions. Are you okay? Verse 9, very important verse 9. Here's the lesson. Turn to your neighbor and say, pay attention. Here is the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. The King James says, make friends with money. So you're going, I got to make friends with money? Hey, money, how you doing? I love you. I think you're awesome. No. That's not what you do, but with money, make friends. Use your money making friends. He says, make friends with money. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. So this is all about how to use wealth. This is all about Jesus is trying to teach his followers generosity and giving. And it seems like a really kooky story to try to tell people how to give. Verse 10, and if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest in the greater responsibilities. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? I want the riches of heaven. I want revival. I want to steward the glory. I want to touch the nations. If you can't figure out how to deal properly with the resources and the stewardship that God has given you right now, how will he ever trust you with true riches? Because when he's saying true riches, he's not talking about true sums of money. He's saying the true riches of the kingdom. And Jesus is saying the real test, the real acid test, if you're going to operate in the fullness of the kingdom, is what are you doing with your stewardship of what he has given you? Say amen. If you can't, say oh me. If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches, the riches of heaven? If you're unfaithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with your own? Wow, just turn and say, wow. So Jesus uses a strictly secular framework to tell his followers how to use the resources. A strictly secular framework. Well, that sounds carnal. This sounds like the ways of the world. Jesus used a strictly secular framework to tell his followers how to use their resources. He was wiser about the use of his money than you are, and you're my disciples. This guy, this secular guy, he wasn't even a good manager, but he was smart enough to make friends with money. This is the big part of the picture. Because, I mean, you can't take all kinds of principles out of a story that Jesus told, or you'll create all kinds of false doctrine. You can only take the one principle that he's trying to teach. What is he trying to teach? What is he trying to teach? Thank you, Pastor. Number one, First thing you need to know is you're managing God's stuff. Now, I know stuff, that sounds rough, but if I used a bigger sentence, it would have gone off the screen. So, listen, you don't own a thing. Nothing. In Him, we live and we move and we have our being. And if you wiggle it all under that, you really don't get the revelation that God owns it all. If you have a great big revelation of how awesome He is and how wonderful He is and how much He loves you, that won't trouble you a single bit. Because you'll know that the one who has abundance out of abundance blesses me ridiculously. So you know what? Here's true freedom in every financial realm. You own it all. And when you can say you own it all, you've opened yourself up to supernatural, ridiculous flow of God's goodness. If you hang on, I better hang on. How am I going to get that? The hanging on leads to lack. The releasing leads to ridiculous blessing. Turn to your neighbor who can't grunt out an amen and say, last week we talked about casting out devils. Be free. 1 Chronicles 29, David, some say it could be somewhere between $39 billion and $65 billion is what David gave as an offering to build the temple. Billions, I mean billions. But when David gave it, David was like, both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. For all things come from you and all things are of you. So for all the things, what I'm giving back to you right now, you gave me to give. So this is really no big deal because what I'm giving, I mean, doesn't make me awesome. I mean, my giving shows how awesome you are, not how awesome I am. Because everything I'm able to do right now, it all came from you anyway. But I love this cycle of giving and receiving. I love this cycle of just enjoying you. Giving is so liberating and so freeing. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Another verse here. Look at this one. Here it comes right now. It's right there. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. First fruits means the first fruit, which is the first tenth, the first portion. Every single thing that comes into your life, every first part of increase, honor the Lord with the first part. Put Him first, not less. Don't balance your checkbook and then go, oh, sorry, God, paid all the bills. You're out this month. Maybe next month the bills will be smaller and I can choke out a little offering for you. He's first. Say first. And it's not because He's uptight. It's because He wants you to step into a cycle of blessing. If you do that, of all your increase, it says, here's what happens. Your barns are filled with plenty. How many have a barn? That's so good. We do have a barn dweller with us. That's awesome. Has pigs and goats and all those wonderful things. Your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This is just an absolute sign that when you put God first, God will make sure that He is the cause of every effect in your life. And if you're going to say, hey, why are you so blessed? I'm a child of God. Why is all that happening in your life? Because I'm a child of God and I acknowledge His ownership of everything. I bless Him. I'm in this cycle of ridiculous covenant giving and increase, and it's so awesome. And God's doing all of that because He wants to show the world how incredibly beautiful He is. And number four, you have to go to the nursery. All right, there could be a big deposit in a diaper for you. So, the Lord giveth and the child taketh away. Amen. Number two, let's go to number two. And guess what? There's only two, so this is good. Invest in what is eternal. Everything is His, and everything you have, it all came from Him. And what should you do with it? Invest it in eternal stuff. Okay, well, what do you mean by that? Money, which is temporary, is supposed to bless people and build relationships. Oh, here's your investment plan. Whatever you do with your money, think this way. Money, which is temporary, is supposed to bless people and build relationships. Where should you invest? People. Where should you invest? In relationships. See, here's what he did. I mean, he's going to fire me. He's going to get rid of me. So what did he do? He immediately said, I got to find some people who could put me up. So I'm going to go make some deals with some money. I'm going to make some friends with some money. I'm going to put myself in a place with some money. And Jesus literally said, when you do that, when you use what you have here and you invest it in people, You invest it in relationships. You are then investing. You're taking the stuff that's going to rot and die and be temporal. You can't take it with you. You're going to take that and you're going to sow into what's eternal. And those people that you are a blessing to, they're going to welcome you into eternity. And God loves people who love people. God loves people who put relationships over their own personal gain. And it's an interesting thing that people who put other people above themselves and sow and are generous, generosity leads to generosity. And those who are generous, they only seem to get more. But those who pull back and withhold, they seem to go nowhere. That's this whole parable that Jesus is teaching. He's saying, put your time, your talent, and your treasure and bless others with it, and you will have eternal blessings. What is Jesus trying to say? Give, give, give often. Give to people. Give and sow into people's lives. Quit being so selfish and just taking care of yourself. I know he gives you all things for your enjoyment, but there is some that he's given you that he wants you to give it away. And he wants you to find out how you can give more away, because when you start to do that, you start to step into the reality that my God is full of abundance and joy. And I'm not giving out of my little pile. I'm giving out of his unsurmountable, incredible, supernatural resources. So when I give, I'm not giving out of my little bit. I'm giving out of his massive ability to say, let there be wealth. We want to reach the nations. Hallelujah. It's going to take money, honey. It's going to take some smack, Jack. It's going to take some dough, Joe. Okay. God, go ahead now. Go ahead, next one. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Literally, Jesus left everything in eternity. He came in a vulnerable situation as an infant, given to this little girl, and they were some poor folk at the time, given to this little carpenter and his teenage girl who were about to get married. Jesus was sown into a teenager's womb, and he came in such a vulnerable place. God gave his very best, gave an unlimited resource, because he was confident that when we give this way, I'm going to come and I'm going to give everything I have, because when I give everything I have and I'm risen, I'm going to bring many sons to glory. And he was incredibly blessed. Yet he didn't hang on to that or cling to it. He left it all behind. And then what happens? What do we know? He is given the name above every name. He is seated at the highest place. He is given the place where he then, because he was willing to give everything, he was exalted to the highest place of all. Say amen just for fun. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Look at this. God is generous because he lives in a condition of abundance. Some people aren't generous because they, well, I can't be generous like that, Pastor. Start somewhere. Just start somewhere. Like, so you start with this. Start with your mindset. Quit saying I'm broke. Quit saying I can't. Because you are literally confessing that I only operate out of what I can get and what I can get my hands on. You got to realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in every situation. I'm equal to every situation. Where it says he became so very poor, it says that, you know what? He wants us to be able in every situation to say yes to every request that there is. He wants the people of God to not have just enough to get by. He wants them to have all their needs met and more. It's not just meet my needs. It's meet my needs and more, because I want to bless people. I want to invest in people. I want to invest in what you're doing. So we got to have it. His provisions can never be exhausted. So when you write your checks, do your tithe, do the first fruits, but then get crazy. Start to sow into ridiculous things. Just blow your mind at how amazing God is. We are managers of the little bit that we can see. No, we are managers of his inexhaustible abundance. God wants to get crazy resources into the earth, but it's really hard to find people that will agree with that because, well, people have abused the prosperity message. People have abused it by living in a spirit of poverty. People have abused it by not understanding what God wants to do. People have abused the revelation of God's fullness in and through their lives because they insisted I'm being holy by being simple. It's not. It's wrong. It's a spirit. And you should listen to last week's sermon again and get it cast out of you. Because if you are resisting all your needs met and more, you're resisting the will of God. If you're resisting all your needs met and more than enough to be a blessing every time there's a need, we want to buy another property in Haiti. Got it. Oh, I got it. No, I got it first. I got it. Don't you want to get into situations where we're competing to take care of the purposes of God? Because I'm not giving. Who wants to empty right now their registered savings plan so we can do a great work in Haiti? Who is that? There's at least four people in the room right now. Empty your whole registered savings plan. You know, that shouldn't actually be that complicated. What you should say, though, is, Pastor, you first. Wow, would anybody ever do something that crazy? I mean, wow. I mean, I've been saving that up. That's what Mary did. Jesus just gave me back my brother. She took her registered savings plan, and she didn't say, here, do this what you want with it, give it to the poor. She busted it on his feet. She said, I just want you to get smeared with my affection. I just want to worship you extravagantly. Wow. Can you feel the glory increasing in the room right now? Oh, you know what the glory is? Silver and gold. Check it out. It's heaviness. It's weightiness. It's the first time the glory was used, and Abraham was weighed down with silver and gold. Glory. Don't want to offend you, but it's the Bible. So don't be offended. Just repent. Repent does not mean get rid of bad stuff in your life. Repent means align yourself with God's thinking and stop having stinking thinking. Okay, so, and that'll release things in your life. We are managers of inexhaustible abundance. We should engage others every time you're thinking about other people. See, I love that when you get in the glory, like Cheryl, suddenly she's in the glory enjoying God's presence, and then suddenly her mind goes to, there's people not experiencing this. See, when you're getting in the glory for yourself, that's good. But when you're getting in the glory for others, that's awesome. Because you get in the glory, just like Isaiah did, stuck in the presence of God, sitting there watching the glory. All of a sudden, you'll hear the heart of God, and you'll stand up and say, I'll go. You'll hear God say, who's going to go for us? Who's going to take my purposes? Who's going to enrich the earth? Here am I. Send me. Okay, settle down, please. All right. So look, next slide, real security. Here's what he's saying. Real security is found in helping others and building eternal relationships. Number one, how can I fulfill this? How can I honor this word, Pastor? Be generous to others. We have little cards that just say, you know, it was a little act of kindness, little smiley face on it. And we've got them. You can get them before you go. And we use them. Other people in church use them. But you can go through the drive-through, and then on the way through, you can say, hey, how much is the guy behind me? And if it's less than $10, I'll usually hate it when you show them, go, how much is the guy behind me? Go, $34.70. But we can fill the city with generosity. People come, Wayne had somebody chase him down, knocking on the window. Why were you so kind to me? It was just somebody who, you know, goes to the window and then doesn't have enough money, and then you pay for them anyways, right? And they're like, what are you doing? I did that with a guy. I had a guy in front of me trying to find some money, couldn't find some. I got him. He says, no, you don't. I said, yeah, I'll take care of you. He says, no. So he said, I found my money. I said, oh, I don't want it. I paid for it. It's good. You can just bless you. He said, no, I'm going to put it in the kids thing here to send a kid to camp because you're not paying for me. I went, well, let's send the kid to camp then. Hallelujah. My God, some people won't even let you be kind. It's just ridiculous. But look, here's another way. Listen, it's being generous to others. But you know what the most important thing is? Because you know what the most important thing God wants you to do for other people is get them into the kingdom. The gospel is the most important thing that you can do. So what is God, when you really want to minister to others, really touch others, what do you need to do? You need to invest in the gospel. Are you investing in the gospel? Well, how do I do that? Get involved in missions. I mean, we sent, and here's one request right now. I pray that we'd be taken care of right now. I got a call from Jamaica because I've been calling them, going, is the tent there yet? Is that they said, the tent is here. It's in customs. It's been in customs since August 28th. And I'm like, well, why is it in customs? I mean, we got to get it out of customs. He said, I don't know, Pastor. I'm going to find out for you. So I'm calling around trying to find out what's going on. And then I found out the reason it's in customs is they need about $2,500 to get it out of customs. And I said, well, it's sitting there rotting in customs. Who knows if they're taking care of it? Who knows what's going on? If you guys don't get it out soon, they could say, oh, I don't know where it went. We didn't send that down there to rotten customs. We need to get it out. So I had a request just a couple days ago. We need $2,500 to get it out of customs. Can we take care of that right now? Then you got to get an envelope before you go. Please take care of it, all right? 100, 200, 300, 500, whatever. But I would really love to, when I leave here today, I know you've already given, so I'm asking you to give again. Wow, give again? We already gave. Please, I am asking, would you give again? I know you didn't know that before now. But if you said yes, if you really mean that, please, would you grab an envelope or do something, write a check, go to the debit machine? Let's take care of that today. Wow, got kind of quiet there. I can still feel the river, though, Maisie. It's a river of generosity. Amen. Missions, the local church. You know, you see what happened here on Friday night with all of these women. Over half of these people are totally unchurched. So that means we had like 80 women in here that are totally unchurched. And they had a really great time, but they got exposed to some really great stories about how Jesus is touching other people's lives. That's amazing. You know, when you support and you're a part of a local church that's involved in missions, involved in the community, touching the community. We had somebody who came back here and was a first-time visitor, and they came because they could not believe the generosity. They were here for a graduation of the school over here, came into this church and said, but they could not believe the generosity of a church that would do all that they did for a public school that couldn't do it for themselves. Said, I want to go to a church that does that. That's really good stuff. I mean, and you know what? The proclamation of the gospel. Maybe you say, I don't want to go to Haiti. I've heard it's kind of scary and, you know, it doesn't ding my bell. Well, I do want to go, but it costs money. Send me. Send me. Send people who want to go. If you don't want to go, couldn't care less, we can invest in the proclamation of the gospel. I mean, you hear the heart of the Lord today from all the prophetic words. When you connect all the dots, God aggressively wants to thrust people out of here to tell real human people who we can touch and see about the goodness of God. Let's be quiet for just a few more minutes. What have I got here? I got another slide, right? Jim Elliot. Now, Jim Elliot died, I think, in 1956. He was killed by a tribe of natives in Ecuador, a tribe of kind of very violent indigenous people that were there. And I'm always careful because I'm not even sure if I'm using the right words anymore, if they're politically correct. So, but it was people there, unreached people who he went to share the gospel with, and they killed five of them. And but in 1949, this is what he put in his diary. He put, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I love that. And if you really want to accelerate, you really want to experience breakthrough in your life, you really want to exercise incredible stewardship of God's resources, and you want to be somebody that God says they can be trusted with true riches, others, generosity, opportunities to touch others, make friends with money. Use it to invest in people. Don't invest in things here that don't mean nothing. I mean, if God says it, if you really invest in others, he will take care of you. And he'll make sure not just all your needs are met, but you'll have more than enough to flow through you to continue this glorious advance of the goodness of God to fill the earth with his glory. I think that was my last slide. give. There's 20. That's fantastic. That's fabulous. That's good right there. We got, there's 40, so we're close. Sorry, there's one. Thanks, Kevin. Wow. It's really good. It's pretty most amazing altar call I've ever had. Man. Wow. Wasn't quite expecting that, but I am loving it. How many of you other folks are loving it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. Come on, why don't you stand up with me? What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? He's giving. He's giving to you, and he's flowing through you. And you know, if you will invest in others, if you'll put other people before you, it's amazing what God will do. Father, I just am so overwhelmed by the richness of your presence, the way you've come to us today. I so clearly know that something wonderful was deposited in our hearts and our lives today. And the richness of worship, Spirit of God, you lifted us up. You breathed on us. You breathed through us. It was so awesome to experience you like this. But Lord, in the richness of the prophetic word and the folks who shared and as we ministered to one another, Lord, it's been so incredibly rich to be in your presence like this. But Father, you've also impacted us with a clear vision. It's about people. It's about relationships. It's about the people that are my brothers and sisters, even though I've never met them halfway across the world, that are terrified of a bomb falling on their head or a difficulty, or those who just lost their whole home to a hurricane. Father, it's about others. And Jesus, you said, you know, just a secular person, a shrewd manager knows all about it. Why don't my disciples understand this? It's about others. And when you invest in others and you build relationships and you bring the gospel of the good news to others, when you do that, you're investing in eternity and you're receiving a warm, warm welcome into the eternal things of God. Father, I pray that you would just so richly allow that to drop into all of our hearts today. Because you know, I'm not moved to give by a lot of the creepy giving stuff that I hear, but I am really moved in my heart to give when I hear that I'm investing in eternity and I'm investing in people and I'm investing in what you love. And so Father, move on our hearts, forever change the lens on all of our hearts to understand what this giving is all about. And always change the lens on our hearts to realize that I am managing out of some really incredible resources. And I am a steward of some heavenly riches and deposits. And may I honor you and may it increase to the glory of God. Could all those that are working, ministering, working, they're working at the altar today. All those that are serving at the altar prayer, our prayer teams, can you guys kind of come up now and get ready to minister at the altar? All right. I just want to bless you. You know, if you don't know Jesus today, you should accept him because he accepts you. Now, here's the good news. Jesus accepts you. He loves you. He forgives you. Please, please just say yes. Please just say yes, Lord. Be the Lord of my life. If you've got any other need or any other thing, you need healing in your body, you need a word from God, you need a revelation from heaven, these folks are here and they're ready to pray for you and ready to minister to you, okay? So the altars are open. Come, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to send you on your way. You ready? Father, we bless you. We thank you. We bless this house. I thank you for your goodness to us. I just command your richest blessing on everyone, the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with each and every one now and always. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.